Awesome singing. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, last Monday was Memorial Day. And we missed our Sunday, but I don't want to miss it this time. I would like to just honor those that walked in the military or still walk there right now. Please go ahead and stand up. If you've... Thank you for the sacrifice you've made for this country and for the world at large. Amen?
Amen.
Fantastic. Also, last Wednesday, we couldn't meet because a lot was happening in terms of the repair of the parking. We hope that that will be stable this week and we can continue with this Wednesday. But I'll come to that in a moment. I wanted to point you to the moment over here, and you can see that... We're now beginning to track our progress with the missions. Amen?
Amen?
And I don't know if the flowers are getting in the way, but we are around about 20,000 right now as of last weekend. Amen? So let's be praying. Let's look out for ways, and God will open ways. Let's be asking God to open different methods and different ways of making money, and the red will keep going up. Amen?
Amen.
And that video, they're grateful, they're praying, and we hope to get more videos coming out. Let's work together on that. Amen? Fantastic. As far as family groups go, we're still working on that. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to be working on that for a while. Now, we wanted to have a training go out last week, Wednesday. It didn't happen. By the grace of God, I'm sure we're going to be here this Wednesday, Tony. Yeah, so we'll be here this Wednesday, God willing. Would like to cover more as a church. Come on over as a church. We want to talk about what it means to be a group. Amen?
Amen?
We want to put together our groups based on Acts chapter 2. It's not a start issue. It is a connection issue we are building. We are committed to God. We are committed to one another. We are committed to fellowship. We are breaking bread. And you can get help where you need help. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the whole progress takes some time. We all have to come on this. We are different levels, but we're all coming to a place of understanding God's will in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
So please come on Wednesday. We'll have a good time together. And next Sunday, then we'll have a good time of training with the family group leaders moving forward. Amen?
Amen.
One more before I get to the message. We have brother and sister, a couple that is pleasing membership, and that is Jason and Aaron Kilpatrick. Amen. And today after church, we'll have a baptism. And that is for Natalie Taylor. There she is. It'll be at 5 at Alan and Sherry Rouse's house. Amen?
Amen?
Fantastic. Let's pray. God, we ask that you lead us this morning to hear your word, to be directed by you, and pray for myself that I will speak what you need me to say this morning, O Father. Thank you so much for everything we've had today, but we also ask that, Lord, you guide us in our thinking, touch our spirit, our mind, our hearts, Almighty God. Help us to connect with you, to grow in our faith, to transform and to be what you want us to be, Almighty Lord. It's the name of our Lord Jesus that I pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
How would you describe your faith this morning? I know you're a Christian. That's your faith. That's what we believe. I'm talking about how would you describe the aspect of your trust in God. How would you describe that this morning? Would you say you so trust God that nothing is impossible this morning? Or would you say, you know what? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. And that's still okay, but we've got to talk about it for a while. Or would you say, you know, I come to church, I have a good time with the singing, I do all that, but I'm not ready to step out of my comfort zone. How would you describe your faith? Here's something, church, we need to understand. That it's very easy as a people to have function of faith with God. Now I'll explain what that is. Function of faith, but not go beyond that and connect with God in a way that is truly transformative in your heart. Function of faith is you come to church. Function of faith is you do a lot of activity. But beyond that, there's not a shift happening in your character, a shift happening in the person you are. A formation of Christ is not taking hold. You kind of have a status quo, if not pulling back from God. So when I ask, how would you describe your faith? It's a question of how much do you entrust your life, yourself, to God? Even when 1 + 1 = -1. It's not coming to 2, 4, 5, 6. And the logics of it make you doubt your faith. So it's easy to then struggle in our faith and keep it at a functional level and never connect to a point where we are growing. That place is dangerous because the truth be told, you're stepping backwards. If you're not growing, you're dying. Now, that's not a guilt message. That's an awareness I want to put to you. I'm not trying to guilt you out of it. Does that make sense? I want you to be aware of what's happening so that you can start to grasp at this aspect as we go forward. Besides strong and weak, that's the like question. We like to say, I'm strong, I'm weak. Well, what parameters are you using? We tend to use, no problems or more problems as a parameter. But when you read the Bible, strong people were at very difficult places, but they were very strong. They were in difficult places, but they were strong. We tend to question our faith if we're in difficult places. How can God be there if I'm going through this? And sometimes God has chosen you to be the object of faith. He has chosen you to walk with you so that you may inspire others, as we had in communion. You may turn back. And instead of embracing that place, we shrink back. Romans tells us that we should not shrink back. We should step forward and walk with it. So when you understand that, you stop describing it as weak or strong because that's very abstract description. There's no connection. There's no feeling to that. It's a safe description. I'm strong, I'm weak. But there's nothing vulnerable about it. The feelings are there with your faith. It's important that we begin to develop that. So let us start getting in the message and move forward. Long-suffering tests our faith. When you've suffered for a long time, it'll test you. But it has a downside as well. The good side is you can come out of it and win. And long-suffering is very relative. Some of us, we suffer for 1 hour and we think, oh my goodness, that's so long. Some of us suffer for a year. Oh man, that was too long. Others suffer for 8 years, 2 years, 6 years. It's all relative. I mean, some of us, I mean, teens, if your phone doesn't work for 30 minutes, that's long-suffering. For you, for a day. Oh my goodness, what happened? So it's relative. So listen and hear out God as we go forward together and embrace this message. So sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and in which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. So, you know, it was a pool surrounded by a place like a veranda, if you wish, covered, and people would come and sit there, just waiting to be healed. Let's move a little bit. Okay. Let's get this right. NIV doesn't speak too much on verse 4. Tells you to go to the footnotes, but other Bibles have some scripture going there. It's basically the angel would come and start the water, and then the people, the first one to get in, would get healed, right? So that NIV takes that to the footnotes. The rest of the script versions talks through it. One was there had been at the an invalid for 38 years. That's a long time. 38 years is a long time. He's been there. The Bible says, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time. Yeah, for a long time. 38 years. He asked him, do you want to get well? Sometimes you've been in a place for a long time. You don't even know the difference. In terms of your faith, you've been in that place for a long time. You've never tasted anything new. In terms of your life, you've been there for a long time. It can be a bad marriage. It can be bad finances. It can be parenting challenges. It can be health. It can be just the way you think. You've been there for a long time. That you do not know anything different. And you can be in that place as a Christian for a long time. And you can be there as a Christian for a long time, surrounded by blind Christians. Lame Christians. Because they don't help you. They just watch you. That can happen. As in, no one is sensitive to your issue enough to pray with you and help you out with it. You understand what I'm talking about? No one is sensitive enough to say, I can be praying with you and hold you accountable to that if you need me to. You follow that? Nobody's, that can happen. Do you want to get well? So Jesus comes along and says, do you want to get well? Hopefully you connect with Jesus in the scriptures and is asking that question. Do you want to get well? So the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Jesus asked the question, do you want to get well? Now, if you're a lawyer, you may turn to the judge and say, tell the accused to answer yes or no. Now, this was not the accused. This was a guy that was in the streets. So Jesus asked the question, yes or no. He says, I am an invalid. And whenever I try to get there, people get there before me. You see, when you've been stuck in a place for a long time, what happens is that you can no longer have the faith to say yes or no. You are afraid to say that because you're insecure. After 38 years of trying, why would you say yes now? Why would you say yes now? And that is what we must be careful about, where we don't come to a place of, why would I say yes now to God? Because for so long I've been like this. We surrender to the devil's schemes. We give up the right of faith. We give up our identity in Christ and gradually just give up on God. Even though we come to church every Sunday, we function in faith, but emotionally never connect. And the trouble with that is then our life is empty. The people around us feel the emptiness. And the kids, your wife, your husband, community sees the emptiness in you. They may never tell you because they don't know what to tell you though. They're blind. They're lame. They cannot help you. They cannot help you not because they hate you, but because they don't know what to tell you. So this morning, he cannot answer yes or no. He says, hold on. I got to tell you the story. Hear me out. And sometimes we're like that. And I'm not saying we should not hear each other's stories out. I validate your issue. I validate how you feel and how you struggle with that. However, you must then begin the journey of connecting with God. and a journey of connecting with God such that you start the baby steps of overcoming. That doesn't happen because you come to church. That happens because you make a decision to be different. I may preach until I become blue, but you have to make that decision. That decision is born of understanding when Jesus says, "Do you want to get well?" And you start a story, you know. You need to connect with him. You start going here and there, you say, "Oh, you know, I just need to know God can sort this out." But if you're not in that place, it's okay. But can you start the journey? Can you start the journey of getting there? So while trying to get home, you know, someone goes down ahead of me, verse 8. Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." I like the way Jesus dealt with that. He didn't say, "What kind of story are you telling me? Excuses." He says, "All right, I hear you. Get up. Let's make it happen. The significance of that statement is that if you turn to God, it'll change. The significance of how Jesus dealt with that is that if you go to him, it'll change. And he doesn't give you a long story. He walks with you right there and then. Now, it's not a magical change because some of these things are character-based, emotional-based. Some of these things have been a long time coming to you. So you have to unwind some of that stuff. Does that make sense? The idea that you've been gone for 20 kilometers or 20 miles and you want to come right back in a second doesn't work. If you've been gone from God for 20 miles, you'll have to walk back another 20. That process is not one of defeated people. It's a process of growth and learning the bad habits and relearning what God is teaching you now. That process is letting go of all the bad habits and getting to know God how he wants you to know him now. Amen? So understand that. So I like the way Jesus deals with that. Sometimes when you deal with people that have been in a tough place, please don't be busy guilting them. Help them. Get them to come on over. Don't put them down. They've been feeling like that for 38 years. They're done with that now. Let's get on with repenting. Let's get on with changing. Let's get on with being different. Does that make sense? We spend too much time on what's wrong when people are already feeling. Point people to God and let them change. Does that make sense? Here's the principle I want to leave you with. It says, people can be insecure because of their past. That's what happens with that person. After 38 years, he became insecure to say yes or no. He began to give stories. People can be insecure, but they can choose to have trust. That's what he said. What will you choose? Make a choice this morning to have trust. Even when you see no way out, make that choice to have trust. That God will make a way out. Amen? Second, doubt tests our faith. I mean, I don't know about you, but there are things I deal with even in life. I tell myself, will I eventually overcome this issue? Shall we eventually do well in this issue? And you're not saying it can't change, but you have doubt. You know, you're like, there are days you're like, we got this. And there are days you feel like, man, it's not just coming together. And we have those days. We have those days. It can be in communication with your spouse. It can be with communication with your children. It can be with your bosses at work, neighbors, who knows what. And that can flare from time to time, and you can have doubt. It can really develop over time and plays on, can we really overcome this? Oh, yes, we can. But let's see what happened here. Mark 9:20-24 says, so they brought him, this young boy. You've read the story maybe many times, but if you haven't, you can go and read from the top and you'll see what was going on there. So they brought him, when the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. In other words, the father had never seen anything other than this. That this child has been like this all the time. If you've never seen anything else, you can doubt anything else, any other future, any other hope. You can doubt because you've never seen it. Why would you believe it? Especially in a society that believes in logic. Why would you want to believe in another world, something you've never seen before? Why would you want to? He says, since he was a child. You know, I want to say this. If you're a teen, some of the things you may be facing are challenging, and you may be 15, 13, 14, 17, 18. I mean, 18, you're an adult. You know, the government treats you different. So let's take with 17 downwards. And you've never seen anything like this. Trust God, He can change stuff. I tell you, if you come to God, He'll help you figure that out. And it's true, you may think all these mature people don't understand our world to a certain degree. But the principles, they got them down. So trust you that this world is run on principles of God. And if you can hold that on that, you'll be fine. Now initially you're trying to find who are you and what's going on. Figure that out with God. Don't do that without God. We have made mistakes that we don't want you to make. It's like following a driver in front of you. And you can see that he just hit a pothole. I don't want to go to that pothole. I'll switch a little bit on the left or on the right. Why? Because I'm trying to live a better life. So understand that. Understand that you've never seen anything else, but understand that. Now you more mature people that have been around for a long time, you may have seen things, but something in you may never have changed. Think about that and ask yourself, why is that? Look at what the scripture says. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can, do anything. Take pity on us and help us. That is a place of vulnerability. He's not trying to pretend. He's saying as it is. Take pity on us. Now, would you say that to a stranger? Take pity on us. Help us. Hold on. If you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. He said, I do believe, but then followed by saying, help me overcome my unbelief. Amen. It's like us sometimes. We believe in God. Really? You do? Do you really believe? When you really tested, would you go to God? You know, let's face it. There's stuff that you and I don't know how to sort out. The answer is go to God. Here's the deal. We all like to be in control. That's an illusion. Only God is in control. Everybody else is simply writing, and God's principles take charge of you anyway. Even if you don't believe in God's principles, they still take charge of you anyway. It's like you saying, I don't believe in gravity. Gravity takes charge of you anyway. It's like people say, I don't believe in God. I said, but you go to sleep at night. Who created that night, buddy? You believe in God. You're in denial. That's what's going on. You see, the whole point I'm trying to put across is that sometimes we don't really interrogate ourselves deeply to why we lack our faith. And because we don't, we never get to the nitty-gritty of it, of I just need to entrust myself to God. And that's how our faith fails. So then we switch back to functional trust, which is we come to God on Sunday, Wednesday, and whenever family group meets, but never giving our hearts to God, our mind to God, our strength to God. We don't give our everything. You know, the teens need workers. So if God is prompting you, you can talk to Tony and he'll look for a place for you to do something. The middle school need workers. If God is prompting you, you can walk over there and see what God can do with you. There's a lot that God can do with you, but it's easier to step back to the comfort place and not want to bring yourself out. Experience, things that you've gone through have made you harden your heart, or you suffered so much pain you're afraid to step back again. You need to step back again. Amen? You know, before I got married, I'd like someone that someone would reject me, and I'd feel so hot, and I'd say, I never want to like anyone anymore. And I thought that, then after a year, I said, let me try again. And then it happens. I never like anyone anymore. Then I figured, come on, man. You want to be like whoever you like, hope you want them to like you back. Right? If it doesn't work, that's okay, because they're still hoping for someone else. And then I connected and I kept going, and my wife came through. Amen. I hope you're not stuck with God like that. You keep holding your heart back and say, God, the last time I tried, you didn't come through, so I ain't coming. Come on over. God will connect with you. Come on over. God will connect with you. Amen. So that's what's going on. That's what's going on. So we're stuck in functional trust with God. We're not really connecting emotionally. We don't give our energy. The greatest commandment is love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But we've gone to, we love God with our mind. I'm not sure about your strength. We love God with our mind. We know what is right. We think logically. We make that happen. Beyond that, I'm not moving. It is a place. It is a place we must all begin to make that journey. Transformation does not happen if you don't believe. Now, here's another truth. There's some things that will not change, not because you lack faith. You know, you can have a health challenge that sticks with you forever until you die. You can have issues that stick with you forever. Does that mean you don't have faith? No. That is your cup. A God-given cup. Will you drink it joyfully or with grace? Sometimes it's hard to do it joyfully, but with grace. How will you handle that? And as church, we need to be able to help people in that position. And not always castigate their faith and say, maybe something is wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with them. Was something wrong with Job? Was something wrong with Jesus when he went on the cross? It was a violent death that they killed him. It's not always wrong and right. That is our humanistic way of interpreting faith. There's much, God is much bigger than wrong and right. Bigger than you and I can imagine. So my point is, please, let's get this one right. Okay, your faith can move mountains and your doubts can create them. Which one do you have? Which one do you have? Let's get going here and get finished. Finally, but not least, adversity builds faith. It's true. If you've been into troubles in life, they can build you up. My life, I have a very interesting view of it. I was born, and 1 year, 8 months later, my mother died. And in those days, the ratio of you surviving at that age, before age five, on the continent of Africa, was very low. And I tell myself, God must have wanted me to leave. So what will I do with my life? Yeah. I was talking to Peter Berry the other day, and he was telling me how there was a time he could not walk. And now he walks like nobody's business. He gets on the trumpet, I'm like, you better do that, my friend. Because you never know, why did God allow you to go through what you went through? Now, here's what happens. Many of us go through stuff, and after that, we're bitter with God. Why? That was your cup to make you a better person. If we all want to be like X, Y, Z, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. I'm sure you watch the magazines from Hollywood and you think, I wish I had a body like them. If you saw the bill of that photograph, you would be shocked. Because of how much it takes to make you look like that. It's not the real person. If you meet the guys as regular as you, we look just alike. But then when you see the picture, you're like, wow, I wish I can look like that. No, I don't think you want to. Nevertheless, the point is, adversity can build your faith. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. This is the blind guy. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up on your feet. He's calling you. The same people that are saying, stop it. If you read the story up, they were telling him, stop shouting at the Lord. Now that Jesus hears him, come on over. They are happy for him. Throwing his cloak on the side, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. A blind man can be very sensitive to movement. Very sensitive to how people behave. People were calling him down, telling him not to call on Jesus. He insisted and kept calling. Adversity did not send him away from Christ. It made him more bold, more courageous, and he called on Christ. Adversity should not kill your faith. It should build you up. Most people give up because of troubles. You know, I've been in places where I've wanted to give up. There are years I look back and I say, man, that year I was ready to throw in the towel and say, you know what? I don't want to be everything you created me to be, God. It's too much pain. I think I'm okay just winging it. It's not right. God has given you some talents, some abilities. Even though you'll face some adversity, let God use that to bring you the best of you. Amen? So he jumped up to his feet. What do you want me to do for you? Very different this time. Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. He was very clear. I want to see. When you've been adversity for so long, you know what you want. When you've struggled for so long, you know what you want. Because you go through the pain and try to push it away. It never goes away. Eventually, you're ready to say, okay, what do I want God to do for me? And you now begin to pray about it. You begin to ask God about it. And you start to make some action. And God begins to change. So, I want to see. God said, go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. We read that and we think, anyone who does not change, then something is wrong with them. That's not true. That's not true. That in this context, yes, but in the other context, he didn't even answer the question. He was just saying, I've been here for 38 years and God still did it. So don't take one and have an extreme emphasis on it. Understand that it works both ways. But the point is, adversity can help you know what you really want. Adversity can do that to you. So, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road, happy. And I would like to end here. If you are irritated by every rub, how will you be polished? How will you be polished? I'd like to end there. If every time God is trying to polish you and hit the dross out of your body, your heart, you get irritable, angry, upset, how will you be polished? God bless you.
Wow, what an incredible message. Thank you again, Steve, for that message. As we leave here, let's not stop at functional faith. Let's move, let's connect with God. Go to God when you have doubts. And then let your be able to drink your cup so that he can build your faith. Thank you again for that, Steve. Incredible message there. Before we are dismissed, I have an announcement, and then we're going to pray. I have an announcement here that please pray for Karen McClurkin's mom, who will be having a bone marrow biopsy this coming Friday. So let's be praying for her mom. Before we are dismissed, let's go to God in prayer. Father God in heaven, we come before you. God, please increase our faith. Father, help us to not doubt you. Father, you're amazing. You call us out from the darkness into your wonderful light. And God, help us to trust you in everything that we do, in everything that who we are. Father, I pray that the message today would sink deep into our hearts. And God, that we would put it into practice. We would just not be hearers, but we would be doers. God, help us. We need you. Father, we are blind. We are the lame. Some of us have been sick for 38 years, and we start making excuses. God, please increase our faith. God, thank you so much for today. God, I pray that you would be with us. Guide us this week as we leave here. Help us to leave here encouraged and inspired to do great things for you. Father, thank you again for Jesus, for making this possible, for dying on the cross for us. We love you. Thank you again for today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.